Well, it is a pleasure for us to be here. We really enjoy coming up here. It's a little bit of a drive for us. You guys are a little bit farther away than normal, but that's always a good thing. But we really enjoy coming up. We love you guys. You guys are fantastic, and it's a great breath of fresh air. And it doesn't matter. It also helps that you have a South African in your presence, which that's always a... I was telling people earlier, I was like, we're about 3 months into our furlough, when we have two more months to go, so it's a longer furlough than we're normally used to. And by 3 months, I'm ready to go home. And Sean has given me that little booster shot that I needed to get through, hopefully to get through another 2 months. So I really enjoyed staying with them, and we really appreciate you guys. It is fantastic for us to be here, and we appreciate your investment. And as Pastor was saying, your investment is going a long way in South Africa. And we are doing some really great things, some really fun things. And I'm having a blast. I love my job. And that's the way it should be. And I love every morning getting up and getting back into everything and doing all this and doing that. And so it's a real pleasure for us to minister with you guys in South Africa. This morning I wanted to share with you a passage that really means a lot to me. When I was getting ready to go to South Africa, I would have chosen these as my life verses. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But I'm one of those guys, if you're going to preach a message, you kind of have to know it and you kind of have to live it before you can actually get into it. And for a long time, this passage, which I love, I felt more like Timothy than Paul. If I'm honest with you, even when I went to South Africa, I felt more like a Timothy. I was still looking for somebody to pour into me. And we jokingly say we don't know what Word of Life was thinking when they sent us 16 years ago, because we were young. But we were full of fire and we loved it, and you know, we made mistakes and we're moving on and we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, after 16 years, I'm beginning to feel more like Paul. Please, I'm not equating myself to the Apostle Paul. He is phenomenally better than anything I could ever imagine I would ever be. But my ministry has changed from a more I want to be discipled to I am now and feeding and investing into the people's lives. And so this passage now, for me, is really what we do. This is what we try to accomplish in South Africa. And Mary and I, like I said, have a great time doing this. We love serving. We love being involved in these ministries. And we love seeing people's lives changed. And so there's no greater joy for us than we see someone who walks through the process that Paul has done with the Apostle Paul has done with Timothy. And I want to go through this with you. Let me share with you the first verse here, or the main verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and it says this: "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Is it not up there? Okay. I don't know what happened. I hit the button, but I don't know what's going on. So it's supposed to be up there for you. So now you have to run around in your Bibles with me to keep up with me. So now it'll be a little workout this morning. All right. So this verse, really, like I said, we base our ministry on it. We base everything that we're trying to accomplish on this. And it's always been a verse about discipleship. But it's more than that. If you really start inspecting it and you really start tearing it apart, you really begin to find a whole lot more than just discipleship. And I want you to kind of go through that and explain some of those things with you. But along with that, what I wanted to share with you, and those of you who are in Sunday school, you'll recognize this family. Discipleship is a key part of our ministry. This is a couple that we have been discipling for the last 15 years. And now they are full-time with Word of Life. So they started out wanting to volunteer, stacking chairs and cooking on the grill and all those things. And now he's full-time with Word of Life. Discipleship works. It functions. And it's important that we see that. And that's exactly what Paul was doing with Timothy. He met him where he was. He brought him along. Then he said, "Here, now you go and do the ministry." And that's what we have done. And we've had great opportunities like this and great chances to do this. Now, this is one of the places I struggled with this passage. All right? I'm a firm believer in discipleship, firm believer in evangelism. But when it comes to discipleship, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I always struggled with that. I battled with that. But I'm following what this passage says. Find somebody, teach them, train them, hand it off. That should be that simple. And I always missed, or I always couldn't figure out why, you know, I had people like Wayne in my life when I got to share with him, and it works. But then there's 3-4 other guys who I started discipleship with, and it never went past the cup of coffee and the how's the weather for you today conversation. It never makes it beyond that. And I always struggled. God, why does it work with this person and not with that person? And about 4 or 5 years ago, someone shared this passage with me and made me focus on one particular word as we get into this. And if you look at it, right at the end in verse 2, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I want you to take a minute and think about this for a second, okay? Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to disciple people. But he wasn't saying disciple everyone. He was saying find the faithful people and disciple them and turn things over to them. So I started thinking that through and I started trying to figure out, okay, now it's starting to make a little more sense to me why it doesn't always work. Maybe they're not ready for that relationship. Maybe they're not ready for the discipleship process. So I had to go back and I had to reevaluate. I had to go back and see, well, what did Paul do with Timothy that got him to that level? And so I should be looking for people who are considered faithful people. So this morning, I want to share this message with you for 2 reasons. One, I want to share with you that we're doing these things in South Africa. So you'll see some pictures, and you'll see some things that we're doing. So you'll get a little bit of an update. So if those of you who are in Sunday school, you'll be reminded of some of the things I talked about. But also, I want you to look and reflect on your own life. There are some characteristics that Paul refers to here that are characteristics of what a faithful person looks like. And that's what I want you to reflect on. I want you to figure out, am I a faithful person? Now, if Paul showed up and he was looking for someone to disciple, or someone to go through this process, to build them up into ministry and to get them involved from salvation all the way to running the church, would you be a person that Paul would choose? Or would he skip past you? Because you're not what you need to be. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. So it's kind of 2 sides to all of this. Now let me give you the list. All right, here's the list of characteristics that Paul gives when he's going through this passage to Timothy. All right, so it's a son, a steward, a soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a worker, a vessel of God's glory, and a servant. Now, I love to talk, I love to preach, I love to do these things, but there's no way I'll get through all that list in the time that I have, all right? So we will not go through all of that, all right? I'm hoping, Lord willing, time-wise, we will get to number 5, the farmer, and then we'll kind of stop right there. But that means you can go home and you can look up the other ones, because that would be an important thing for you to be able to do as well. Now, I also want to kind of start this in the sense of, I want to clarify something so that you're not misunderstanding me or I didn't miscommunicate something to you. I believe everybody should be discipled. I believe everybody, the Great Commission, go forth and make disciples. First, they got to accept Christ as a personal Savior. Got to be a key thing. And I believe everybody should be followed up in that decision. All right? I'm not preaching this in the sense and saying you should just leave people behind. I'm not saying that. I believe everybody, and we spend a lot of time taking people who may not necessarily be ready to be a faithful person or isn't that faithful person, but developing those things in their life so that they can become a faithful person. Because everybody deserves a chance, and we need to be discipling. We need to be training everybody that we possibly can. So don't make that say like, well, I'm only choosing a few people. No, we try to get everybody, but there's only a few people that are actually going to go to the next level, and that's that faithful person. All right, so I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page there going through this. The first one is son. Right in verse 1, he says, thou therefore, my son. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. Okay, now, we all know, okay, just because you come to church today, you know, and you're here every Sunday for church, just because you're here, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. Right? Just because your family is Christians, your parents are Christian, doesn't mean the kids know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. It is an independent decision. Every person must make that decision for themselves. They must accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior by faith, believing what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That made Timothy the son. We are all brothers, or well, not brothers, but daughters and sons of God.
based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. But it starts there. It all starts there. You may think you have all the other characteristics, but if you don't, if you're not a son or daughter of God, you're out. There's no chance. So it's important for us to recognize, even when Paul is talking to Timothy, it all starts with salvation. We must start by sharing the gospel. And here you'll see one of the pictures that we get to do. This is a kids' fun day, one of the numerous events that we do. I love this one because I get to play games with the kids and goof around, and I have a great time doing it. But it's an opportunity to share the gospel message. And we really enjoy these times. We really enjoy the opportunity to take them aside once they've made a decision, to talk to them about that decision, to make sure they made the correct decision. That's one of the things in South Africa. For those of you who have visited, you'll know this. But those who haven't, in South Africa, it's so ingrained into the young people that when an adult says do this, you must do it without question. All right? It's so ingrained to them. So if I, as a grown up, an older guy, stand up there and say, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, if I think you should do that, raise your hand if you want to do that. Everybody will raise their hand. Okay? So that's like, okay, if you ever see any of the big evangelists go over, they say millions were saved. That's all they're doing. Because it's so ingrained into the African people that if you say do it, I'm going to do it. I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm just doing what you told me to do. Yes, I'm just going to say yes. So we take a lot of time with the discipleship or the follow-up, sorry, the counseling involved in these events. So we sit down with them and say, what decision did you make? What did Jesus do for you on the cross? And we help them understand, make sure that they have made a genuine salvation decision. So there, point one, being a child of God. Got to start with that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today must be the day, should be the day, that you accept Christ as your personal Savior. Number two, a good steward. All right, it's here in verse, and still in verse two, it's about using the gifts, all the things that Paul had discipled him, all the gifts that he had used for him. I look at that as Christians, we have been entrusted with spiritual gifts. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you were given certain spiritual gifts, one if not more. And they were given to you, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you use those gifts. So they've been entrusted to you. The best example I can say is, it's like our tithes. We know that all of our finances, all of it belongs to God. But we are given an opportunity to give back a certain amount for the work of the Lord. That's our tithe. That's what we do. Can I relate that to that same spiritual gifts? God has entrusted to you certain gifts, and he wants you to use them. They're not for you. Those spiritual gifts he's given to you, they're not for your benefit. They're not for your glorification. They're to be used to further the gospel. And we've got to be using them. Timothy was a good steward of the gifts that God had given him. He was willing to serve. He was willing to be involved in ministry. In the verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says this, as every man hath received the gift, or a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It is our duty to invest what God has given us in the lives of others. That's what we're supposed to do. That's one of the characteristics. When I'm looking for someone who I want to be a future leader in South Africa, who I want to invest and I want to dump my life into, I want to find somebody who is out serving. I don't want to look for the guy who sits in the pew every Sunday and does nothing. I don't want to look for the young person who has a tremendous amount of gifts, tremendous amount of abilities, but doesn't do anything. I want to find the guy who's trying to figure out what they are. I want to find the person who is striving to figure out that gift and trying to use it to the best of their abilities. We have an opportunity in South Africa with this one particular church down in a place called Isipingo. They never had youth before. So we were starting youth. And I took advantage of this opportunity to take some of the young people, students, from some of the other churches, some young adults, and to put them into ministry. They didn't have youth leaders. So I was like, that's okay. In this particular situation, I'm going to bring the youth leaders down. So I brought kids. And I take kids and I say, you know what? I need you to lead worship. I need you guys to run the small groups. I need you guys to run the games. I need you guys to teach lessons. Because where else are they going to learn it? When are they going to get an opportunity to develop those gifts, those abilities? We have to give them chances to do it. And so we take young people, and my daughter's here, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I will a little bit. But my daughter, she's 15 years old, and she's one of my best teachers in that youth group. 15. I have a young adult in there who can't teach in his church, but when he becomes a member and he's allowed to teach, they want him to teach, but he has no skills yet. So I can put him to teaching here to develop those gifts so that they can use them for what it is that God wants you to do. Now, let me ask you this question. Now, I'm saying older Christians, okay? I'm not saying older people. There's no old people here, right? None whatsoever, right? None. But the older Christians, those who spiritually have been around the block a few times, we've done it, we've survived it, we're doing it again and again. You older Christians, if you ever look at the young people or the younger Christians and say, man, I wish they would just get up and do something. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever looked at them and said those things? Can I tell you where the problem actually lies? It's not with the young people. It's with us. Because we never taught them. We never taught them to get off their seats and get up and do something. They're waiting to be taught. But no one's ever taught them. So whose fault is it that the church or the young people in the church or the young people around our country aren't doing anything? Sorry, it's on us. Because we're not teaching them to do it. We're not giving them opportunities to use their gifts and abilities. We've got to be in this. We've got to be developing those young people. All right, number three. Look at that. We're on three already. Woo-hoo. Moving right along. All right, the next one is a soldier. To be a good soldier. Back in 2 Timothy, verses 3 and 4, it says this. Now therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So we are called to be a soldier. We're all called to be a good soldier. And when I look about being a soldier, I grew up through the spot where I never had to serve. Never had an opportunity to do that, never needed to do that. And God bless those guys who have. I really, amazing, amazing guys who sacrificed to do that, and people are still doing that. Love you guys. Thank you guys so much for that. I never had that. I had a brother who went through that. I have a brother who was involved in all those things. And he told me all the stories and all the things that he wanted me to know about it. Soldiers have to band together. They're going to war. And they have to work as a team, as a unit. And at boot camp, when they're training them, they tear them down to basically nothing. And they rebuild them how they want them. That's what they're trying to accomplish. So when the commander says, run up that hill, you run, because that's what you've been taught. Okay? We've got to take that mentality and apply it spiritually. When our commander, Jesus Christ, says, run up that hill, we need to run without any hesitation, because that's been the command. Go and reach the lost. That's your command. So without any hesitation, without any doubt, without any regard to what it's going to do to you, we must obey. That's being a good soldier. Do we have that characteristic? Are we willing to sacrifice? A soldier sacrifices everything. And some of them sacrifice their lives to obey the commander. When's the last time you sacrificed anything for the call that Jesus Christ has given you? Spiritually, physically. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. We've got to be willing to do everything. We cannot get entangled with the things around us, the world around us. We've got to tear those things off. One of the things I find with the current generation, there's no commitment. They make no commitments. They make no decisions, of course. But there's no focus either. It seems like they're kind of everywhere. All right? And there's problems in that, and I get what they're going and how all those things are going. But spiritually, that's not how it's supposed to work. Look in Jeremiah. And it'll be up here, Jeremiah 29. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God is saying, Jesus is saying, I have a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. He already knows the plan. I was sitting with somebody just the other day, and he's like, before he said, let there be light, he had a plan for you. We've got to be doing the plan that he has given to us.
If I continue on, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We are to be outdoing the work, the plan that he has given us. Another one in Matthew chapter 6, verse, I'm only going to give you 33, but let me read a few verses before that. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye are in need of all these things. And this is the verse here. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our responsibility as good soldiers of Jesus Christ is not to worry about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, any of those things. I am to seek the will of God, wholeheartedly, fully committed, willing to sacrifice it all. That's what I've been called to do. Well, that's a big one, isn't it? That's like, whew, that sounds hard. And it is. And I'll be honest, as a missionary, we sacrificed a lot going to the mission field. But you know what? I still have a really decent house to live in. Obviously, you can tell I do not starve. Okay? I am not starving over in Africa. I have been stalked by lions, yes, but they were on the other side of the fence, so I've been okay. All right? I make sacrifices. We all make sacrifices. But how far are you willing to go for the call that God has given to you? We've got to find people. We've got to find those young people. We've got to be discipling. We've got to have that characteristics that God wants us to do. And for me, my favorite part of this is I don't have to do it by myself. I'm part of a group. I'm part of a team. I'm part of a unit. Okay? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye are standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You are a local church. You are one unit standing in this battle. We must depend on one another. Let me ask you this question. This will make it a little bit harder for you to, everybody's like, yeah, okay. All right, so this is not a real question, okay? I'm making this up, the scenario. All right, I want you to look at the person next to you. All right, husbands, you can look at your wives. Dads, look at your sons or daughters, you know. But look at one person next to you, okay? Now, I know that this is not true, all right? So don't say, oh, Brad's teaching a new gospel. No, I'm not all right. If your salvation destination was dependent on that person, are you worried? Woo! Are you worried? All right, well, of course, you know, all the husbands are saying, no, absolutely not. My wife is amazing. Yeah. Okay, now let me say this. If it is dependent on that person and you see that person do something wrong, you'd be a little more motivated to say, hey, excuse me, you know, my life depends on what you're about to do. I really need you to do the right thing. We would be all over them, wouldn't we? Make sure you're doing the right thing. Is that not what this is saying? Strive together. We hate confrontation. We don't want to go and confront somebody because that's that's no, we don't want to do that. But biblically, we stand together, and you're never stronger than the weakest one in your group. So we got to be looking around at each other and saying, I got to build this person up. I'm not going to tear them down. I'm not going to go and say, oh, you're bad at this, bad this, bad this. No. I'm going to go be alongside them and say, you know what? Let me help you in this area in your life. And let me walk through life with you as we make this stronger. I'm going to build you up. Too often we go and say, shame on you. You're awful. And that person just doesn't want to do anything. But if we come alongside them and say, you know what? I love you. And I've seen this in your life, and I want to help you. I'm going to be right here with you through each and every step. And we're going to be stronger together. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's a good soldier. When I'm looking for faithful people, I'm looking for the person who has a heart to help young people. They go into youth group and they don't judge them. They come alongside them and they help them. They want to see people grow. That's a good soldier. That's somebody I'm going to get behind because they have the group in mind, the big picture. One of the ways that we do this, we accomplish this, is in small groups. Right? We have a lot of small groups. Every activity, every event, every time we teach, we so desire to have small group time. Because that's the time that we can actually build each other up. They become good friends. They do battle together. They walk life together. And it's important for us to be able to do that as a small group, as a unit. And we need to do that as a church as well. All right, number four. Ooh, we got 5 minutes left. All right, number four. A good athlete. A good athlete. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says this. And if a man also strives for masteries, or an athlete, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So Paul is simply telling Timothy, as an athlete, you want to win the race. You're here to win. We're not here for second place. We're here to win. He says, but if you want to win, you must do it according to the rules. There are no shortcuts when it comes to running the race of a Christian. We've got to run according to the rules. Well, how do we know what the rules are? We read our Bibles. We know our Bibles. There's no excuse to say, well, I didn't know about that. An athlete cannot go to the judge and say, well, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to use steroids. No one told me. Sorry, that doesn't work. It doesn't work here either. If I want to win the race that God has set before me, I must know the rules. I must be in God's Word. I must be studying it. I must know it so that I know what I should do and what I should not be doing. Important for us to be doing this. Paul also in 1 Corinthians uses a passage where he's also talking about being a good soul or a good athlete. He says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. For they do it now to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." It's about focus, right? You've all seen, none of us have kids who do this, but there are kids out there who fall on the ground and wail and beat and fling their arms all over. I never did that as a kid. I'm sure none of you have ever done it. But there are kids out there who do that. They just flail. They're just beating it, and there's no purpose to it. You just kind of stand back and you're like, whoa, okay, yo, all right? That's what it's about. We can't be doing that. We can't just be aimlessly running around, flailing around, doing whatever it is. God wants us to be focused. He's given you a purpose. Save the lost. Teach them about their faith. That's your one purpose. You're not a farmer. You're not a carpenter. You're not a, I don't know what jobs you have out here. You know, that's not who you are. That's what you do so that you can reach the lost. God gave you that ability to work in that environment so you can share the gospel message with people. That's who you are. You are a soldier. You are an athlete of Jesus Christ out there to win the race. Paul goes through a lot of these. He also goes into Hebrews, and I'm going to jump past this one. But a lot of the things that you can read it as I'm talking. He talks about obedience. He talks about self-control. He talks about focus. He talks about endurance. An athlete must have all of those things. All right? When I go to bed at night, I'm tired because I worked all day. That's awesome. Get up and go at it again. That's how we got to live our lives spiritually. I do all I can today to serve God. So when I go to bed, I can put my head down and say, you know what? I did the best I could. But tomorrow is a whole nother day, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again. And I keep doing it day after day. That's what the athlete does. All right, the last one here. Last one, the farmer. All right, in verse 6 says this. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first partaker of the fruits. Now, I know there's some farms up here in Maine. I've seen them. I am not a farmer, okay? I grew up in the city. I'm a city boy. I don't have any of those, you know, skills, any of those abilities. One thing I did, though, I grew up in an area where one of the neighboring towns was farmers, all right? And they work hard. They're up early, they're up late, and they work really, really hard. Now, I love playing basketball. I am the shortest of my brothers. I am the runt. They call me the runt, all right? Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? I am the runt. I loved playing basketball with all of those things. But when we played that particular school that was made up of farmers, we always hated it. not because they had better skills than us. We skills-wise, basketball, we were better players than them. That was not in question. They could just run and run and run. And they were built like Mack trucks. I mean, you try to box them out. You throw an elbow or two, and they just kind of like, you know. It's like, ah. It was a torturous game. And we would win because, you know, we were good. But it was tough, and we would end up with injuries. You know, we'd all be walking off the court, limping and bleeding, and they're just like, hey, it's like another day. Woo! All right? Farmers work hard. They're intense in what they do. Same team that we played against. One of my best friends growing up was on that team. And I would get to go to his house and hang out with him. He wasn't a farmer. His family was and things. So we would go. And it was like one Sunday we were there. It's like, okay, we're going to ride four-wheelers. This will be great. But before we do that, we got to go bale some hay for a little while. And I was like, four-wheelers, woo-hoo! Bale hay. I had no idea what I was volunteering for. Like 3 hours into it. My arms are like, just I'm just dying. I am dead to no end. And all I had to do was pick them up and put them on the wagon. And then from the wagon, put it on the conveyor belt that shoot it up into the barn. That was like my job. And I was like, oh. Came to riding the four-wheelers. And literally, I was like this. Okay, four-wheelers. My arms don't work anymore. And I did it for 3 hours. These guys do it all day. They work hard. Spiritually, are you working hard for the gospel? Are you out every day striving, working as hard as you possibly can? So when it comes time to go into bed, your arms are like, ugh, I was supposed to brush my teeth, but ugh, I can't. We don't, do we? We get busy with other things. We do this, we do that, and we lose track. I'm looking for the person. When I'm looking for a faithful person, I'm looking for the person dedicated. They're willing to sacrifice their time. They're willing to do whatever's necessary. That group that I take them on Saturdays. They give up their Saturdays. These are students who go to school all week. And they're giving up their Saturdays to go and lead a youth group. That's sacrifice. They're working hard for the gospel. It's hard, hard work. One of the things that we've had, and along with that, we do mission trips, smash trips, we call them, students ministering and serving him. And for us, it's all about giving the kids an opportunity to use their hands to serve other people. And I thought it was kind of a great picture to show you because they're putting in a vegetable garden. This was at a place in Durban. It's for intellectually challenged adults. All right? And so in South Africa, it's not funded by the government very well. It's all private donations, and food sometimes is a shortage. So we're putting in a vegetable garden so they could use it to eat. And we have all of these kids there using their hands serving God. They mowed, they ran trimmers, they did everything they could during that few days to serve that facility. We want to give them those chances. We want them to be working. And you know, day two, when the blisters all start showing up, you know the kids who are willing to work hard because they keep going. And the ones who have all the blisters are like, can I stay back at the church? I'm sore. You know, they're not willing to put in the extra work. Blisters are bad, all right? I get that. But I'm looking for those guys who are willing to work their way through those things. And that's exactly what God is looking for as well. I'm going to skip past that passage as well. All right? Let me bring this to an end with you guys this morning, as I'm already a little bit over. Oops. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. This is wrapping it up for you. And I love that Paul puts this right here in this passage, right now, at this moment in time. He says to Paul, or Paul says to Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's exactly what I want you to do this afternoon. I want you to go home, and I want you to consider what I said. I want you to reflect on your own life. If Paul came looking for a Timothy in this church, would you be that person? Would you have the right characteristics of a faithful person? Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Got that one. And you start going down through the list and you're like, not so much. Well, now it's time for you to step up and start working on it. We got to start developing those characteristics. They don't come overnight. It's not like you decide to this afternoon, I'm going to have it. Now I got it. I'm good to go. No, it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. you're going to have to do it together, because there's going to be a lot of you, I imagine. We've got to do it together. We've got to walk this walk together. We've got to walk life together. Now, maybe you're saying, and you're in this room, and you're like, I'm not so sure about number one, let alone the rest. Well, then it's really important for you to talk to one of the pastors or one of the leaders in the church or myself or my family or anybody. Come and talk to us. We would love to share with you what Jesus Christ did for you. What a gift he has for you. We would love an opportunity to share that with you. So if you're here this morning and you don't know, you know, or you may say, I know, I am not a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Don't walk out these doors without talking to someone, because that's the most important thing. Without that, the rest are meaningless. So I pray that you're doing that. Now for me and Mary, let me close with this thought. This stuff brings us great happiness. This stuff brings us great joy. There is nothing better in our walk, in our ministry, than when we see a young person accepting Christ as their personal Savior and then walking through the next parts of their life as well. The whole thing. It brings us great joy. Our goal, and I shared this in Sunday school, our goal, our vision is for Africa to reach Africa. And to do that, I have to develop leaders in Durban. And it's through this process that I do it. This is what we do every day. But we are all supposed to be doing this every day. And if we were all doing this, 700 churches a year would not be closing their doors. I was listening to a blog the other day, and they said, some churches, it's been over 2 years since out of that church they led someone to the Lord. 2 years. Why is our church shrinking? We've lost it all. We're not doing any of them. We've got to get back to the focus. We've got to get back to our first love and to our passion, and that's first salvation, leading people, sharing the gospel, and then following them up so that we can continue to spread the gospel. I want to reach 22 million young people in South Africa. I'm going to need a huge team to help me. And it's more than just us in this room. I got to develop leaders there that can help me accomplish that. So pray for us as we do that, but I also pray for yourselves that you become the leaders that God wants you to be, the faithful people that God wants you to be. Let me close off in a word of prayer, and I'll be done. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, I thank you so much for this time. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to share it and to share our heart. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to do this passage, to live this passage in South Africa. Lord, I pray that you will help this church to live this passage right here in their own church, in their own neighborhood, with their own families, their own friends, their own neighbors, Lord, but also help them to be able to accomplish that. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of sharing the gospel to people. We know that that is so important and so crucial in our ministries and our lives. Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities you present to us, to not pass them up, but to take advantage of those and to share the gospel with the people that are around us. Again, Lord, we thank you for just the opportunity you have given us to serve, Lord, and we look forward to serving the people around us, because we know by serving them, we are serving you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.